What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Waffle Mafia Podcast. Hey, it's me. It's Lucky. Lucky Legend himself. It is Aaron Johnson here to do our weekly waffle wrap-up and bring you guys everything that's been going on in the waffle world and the waffle community and all around the Masters universe in general. So appreciate you guys jumping in. It is time to go to Pound Town, so let's have a pause for the calls. I apologize, y'all. We're not on our normal night. We're doing this on a Thursday night, coinciding with a little event we like to do on a Thursday, if y'all be Thursday. So, yes, it is a Thirsty Thursday. We're going to get it in. Got to say what's up to all the chat room friends. All of everybody's jumping in. What's up, Boogie? What's going on? Mr. Magnus Vermags, what's happening, my friend? Mr. Amato, Joey Boom Boom in the room. Cully Culps, what up, what up? That does help with the Dragon Walker. That is correct. Always got to keep the Dragon Walker lubricated. You don't want that seizing up on you. I see old Bone Breath. You know what it be. Got the bone face hanging in the back, you see. So you guys already know that's what we're going to do, and that'll be after a moment with our sponsor, too. So appreciate you guys jumping in tonight. Let's give a shout-out to Pop Culture Network. Thank you, Mr. Doug Turner. Dirt, the producer, is in the room, and appreciate you for everything that you do. Shout-out to Sister Podcast, Masters of the Galaxy Podcast. Also give a shout-out to the Fans of Power Podcast and Mr. Joe Amato and Tyler Baker. So appreciate you guys and everything that you all do. Of course, also wanted to give a big shout-out to Scare Glow's House. So Scare Glow's House doing a little special thing. So Mr. John Otis, I know that you're in the room there. Appreciate you jumping in. Big shout out to Scare Glow's House. If you guys are not a member of that page, go over and check that out. He's got some good stuff going on over there. They got a little charity going on, a little thing that they're going to do, separate wheel, that kind of deal. So money's going for charity. That's jumping in, and that's to help out the victims of that tragedy there. So if you can, hop up, donate. It's listed on the page. Help John out. Mr. Mike Delaney's working on that, too. There's a couple other folks that are on that. So Von Eric Ratliff, I know he was in on that, too. So you guys get over there and donate with that if you can. What's up, Crystal Ball Dabila? What's happening, my friends? Will is tomorrow night. It's almost full. I think they had 39 spots left, Colin. Is that right? So or last that I saw, I think it was 39 spots. So it's one of those things, if you guys are a part of the Waffle Mafia, obviously if you're listening now, you are. If you're listening at a later time, maybe you're not, you want to come over and find out who we are and what we do. We got all of our great groups too. So come over and check out Lord of Destruction Waffles, Lucky Legends, Most Powerful Waffles in the Universe, Law Wheel. Go to the Great Unboxing, check out King Humanity and the Masters of the Universe page. There's lots of different pages. Kevin's buying and selling and trading and buying and selling page. Y'all come over and check that stuff out, too. That's all part of the Waffle Mafia, fool. What's up, people? What's up, Ruth? What's going on? Almost full sounded better. But, yeah, 39 spots. There's still 39 spots on the wheel, and it's for a good cause, so just helping the folks that have had to endure that tragedy. So always nice when we can donate and we can jump in and we can show the community how strong, or show everybody how strong the Masters community is. So it's really awesome, guys. I know the Waffle groups, we've always been super built on love and trying to spread the love and share the good graces that we have, and any time that we can do that, that's awesome, man. So all these other groups jumping out and doing that too, that's the Masters community, man. That's who we are. It's what we do. We try to do good by each other and, you know, learn from the things that He-Man hath taught us at the end, or the teachings from our Master Man-at-Arms. But Those are not the fellas we're talking about tonight. Tonight we're going to get it in right with the Lord of Destruction. We have not actually talked about the Lord of Destruction. And I think a lot of the reason that I haven't jumped in too deep into Skeletor is because Skeletor is one of my favorite characters. And obviously, I mean, there's nobody meaner, badder, more evil than Skeletor. But there's just so much information about Skeletor and so many different things that Skeletor has done or been a part of. So tonight we're going to more focus on just the high points with Skeletor, the sort of the different things. Not going to get into a huge amount of variants. Not going to talk about all the different ice armor, battle armor, scale fire armor. Yeah, we're not going to do all that flying fist, flying punch, flying baby powder popping Skeletor. We're not going to get into that. But what we will do is we will just talk a little bit about Skeletor, who he is, how he was created, and then kind of just roughly, briefly top over his existence in the different media. And then we'll move it on to the waffle, yo. So for those who are jumping in who don't know about the spin, a little bit later on we're going to do our thing and see if we can't make your sword ring. It is Thirsty Thursday. It's a little gathering that we do, and we get together and we have a lager or two. So did Thirsty Thursday, did Syrupy Saturday this past week. Good times to be had by all. I think as far as shipping goes, we always give the shipping update at this point. As far as shipping goes, I think everything is shipped. The only person who probably has not gotten his package yet would be the Big Show, but his is a little different since it's going to Canada. Other than that, everything is shipped. So, I mean, that's everything. If there's something that passed this week you're waiting on that you haven't gotten, please let me know. It was an interesting bit of shipping this week. So got that done finally, and appreciate you guys being patient with me as always. If it didn't come today, it should be tomorrow or the next day, I would imagine. But post pictures, put it on the wall, show everybody what you got. The waffle wins are real. They actually do come to you. Appreciate you guys always jumping in, always blowing it up when we do this stuff. And so Skeletor no different. You guys show up in full force to get this on, and we're going to do it right, and we'll get some other stuff going. But so past week we did our deal. Let's see, let's go back and check your notes, and I was trying to think. Past week, what did we do? We did Lynn. Did we do Evil Lynn this past week? I don't know, guys. It all runs together. Especially no, we did Randy. We did Randy baby last week. So did Randor, and that went out to Cully Culps. I know that. So, yeah, we did a Captain Glenn. That went out to Goose, Battle Armor Skelly, J.D. Gibbs. Did Eternity War 8, went to Maynor. Cully Culps got 7, but if there's anybody out there that has an Eternity War 1 or 2 and you are willing to send that over to Cullen, I will send you Eternity War 7 in its stead. So just let me know. If there's anybody out there that wants to do that, that's cool. Because Cullen's looking for 1 and 2. And what are our groups about, dude? Our groups are about helping each other and sort of hooking each other up. And with that said, let's talk about some of this eBay stuff. Because, guys, I tell you what, man, the prices, and I think you guys have seen it, the prices are absolutely through the roof right now on Classics. Really, it's Masters in general. And I think it's the buzz surrounding the movie. It's if you can call it buzz, but we've got the buzz surrounding the movie. Got the documentaries popping up on Netflix, the buzz around She-Ra and that kind of thing. You had Toy Fair happening here recently. So with all this stuff going on and all this new merchandise and different things that are getting put out there, it's the spotlight's more and more and more on our property. And when that happens, this stuff becomes more and more valuable. And as it becomes more valuable, goes through the roof on eBay, and the scalpers have their way with it. So if you're ever looking for an alternative, there is another bay. It's he-bay.com. And if you don't know, ask your mom. So let's see what else we got. Vintage is super crazy right now. Paid 16 for an original Zodak. That's pretty awesome. Hope there's still a movie. Steve, the movie, we've talked about it before. I do hope that at some point we get a movie. I hope it's the movie that we're all hoping for. And we'll leave it at that. It's a topic that there is a lot of hope in it, and we do hope that we get it, and we hope it's done correctly. But Masters fans are very tough to please at times, and it's tough to make everybody happy because the canon is so expansive, and there's certain things that this person likes, and there's certain things this person likes, and it is hard to make everybody happy. But I think sticking a little closer to the source material would solve that, and we wouldn't have that issue. But Joe and I have been talking about some different things. There's some things we're going to discuss that I think as a community we could possibly come together and do some good. I've got some crazy ideas as usual. So we'll check that out and see how that goes. Travis Wilson, I have one, but I can't get to verify at a moment. Don't know what you. Okay, that's cool. Just to let you know, Mattel on eBay is selling some of their figures super cheap. Sweet Beast $12.99, make an offer option. So glad you brought that up, Joe, because that was the reason that I was sort of leading into this thing about the figures being expensive. If you guys saw earlier today, and I was talking to some of my buddies today, and they weren't aware that Mattel actually has an eBay page that they sell figures through. So we got to talking about it, and I was telling them about picking up those Eternian Guards today. So the Eternian Guards, of course, they listed at $39.99. Even at $39.99, hell of a deal. $40, you got two figures, you got two heads. I mean, the thing is absolutely glorious. There's not much bad you can say about it. And tell the truth, I mean, hell, we can talk about it while we're here. I mean, you got this two-pack. I picked this up for you guys from the Slime Pit. So over at the Slime Pit, they were doing a wheel, and I jumped in on it just to see exactly what they were doing, of course. And, you know, so got lucky, got a Slime Pit win. So there was my Slime Pit win. I also won a Zorn with hot sauce. So there's Zorn with hot sauce. I picked that up this past week. But anyway, so I got this over at the Slime Pit, and my first thought was, hell yeah, I got something for you guys. So, you know, that's cool. Now we have two sets of Palace Guards, dude. So picked up another set of Palace Guards today. Those Palace Guards are really sweet. They've got the extra heads, thank goodness, because there's at least one head that would have to be removed. But other than that, it's very cool, man. I love the Eternian Guards pack. I think it's awesome. There is some interesting history that's tied into it there, and especially with Clamp Champ and Lieutenant Spectre, hence the head change. No, I'm just kidding. So there's your Eternian Guards and of course, the Palace Guards with the history that they have and, of course, how they were designed here. The Four Horsemen absolutely knocked these bad boys out of the park. And for those of you who've never seen them or can't see them, you're listening maybe later time, very cool. They're decked out much like Man-at-Arms in the Royal Eternian Guard layout. And, of course, they have a very cool thing that was put in to have the battle damage, so they get the battle damage plates. So there you go, Eternian Guards. And we got some more guards on the way. But the point that I was bringing up is the fact that there is a buy it now option. So $39.99, really not bad on Eternian Guards. I mean, it's awesome, guys. But they also have, you know, the offer option. And can you make an offer? And so most of the time when you go through Mattel and you auto offer, let's get a pause for the calls, getting dry. There it is, oh me, oh my. We got to get ready for this waffle, guys. We got to do this in like 5 minutes. We have not even gotten into Skeletor, but it's all good. I did you dirty as always. You know, I'm always late, but this time I swear, guys, it was actually the Mac this time. I had to reboot and, Taylor's Mac. I'm always weird about it. I don't want to touch anything, like, you know, mess up Mama's Mac, but it's all good. We got back up and running. So anyway, what I was saying, there's normally a make an offer option. So most of the time it is set to auto decline, and then whatever you put in there just kind of sucks. I even run it one day. I was messing around with it. I think it was on Hero or something. They had, I think they had $15.99 on Hero 2 and, you know, making offers. So I started out like $9.99 and declined. And I think I, at the end, just actually put like $15.79 and they still declined it. So I don't know. I think it depends on what kind of mood it's in. But earlier today, I got lucky with the attorney and guards, my friends. So, hence the namesake, and that's what it be. But I grabbed a pack for y'all, you see. So at least we'll have some attorney and guards. For those who maybe didn't get them or didn't get a chance at them, you'll have a chance here. And we'll do some rhymes and drink some beer. But yeah, those suckers were $39.99. I saw that somebody else had put in $30 and gotten it at $30. So I thought, what the hell, $25. Let's give it a shot. So I threw $25 and got it. So you can play around with that. You can get different prices, but you know, you can also get on the decline train too. So I don't know. It really just depends on Mattel, bro. I don't know if they just have it set at a different threshold or whatever it is. Couple other things to talk about. So, of course, that's the eBay stuff. It's under Mattel. Some really good stuff there, like Joe said, Sweet Bee for $12.99. And, but always appreciate you guys throwing that out there when there's a cool deal like that. So, Cullen, that's shout out to you, man, for throwing that out there earlier today. Magnus has turned me on to a couple good deals. Candyman Chris Hummel does the same thing. Has let me know, you know, when some good stuff's popping up. So you guys keep your eyes out there, keep them peeled. There's some killer deals out there. I got another killer deal earlier this evening, so I'll share that with you guys this upcoming week. We've got some other stuff on the way. But for right now, let's talk about for what we came to play. The rest of the weekly waffle wrap-up, John Fright got the foemen. He's already received those, posted a picture of those on Legends earlier today. Battle Armor Pop went out to Prime Time, did a Z-Wheel. Extendar went out to Mr. McMullen, did a poster to Mr. Abate. That was the big poster, did a Sweet Baby Merman pop to Mr. Abate. Eldor to Terry. Oh, Terror, and Eternity War to Miss Gilbert. So there you go, and that's what it be, bro. All right, let's get it on. Let's get on over into Skeletor Town, and let's talk about where he came from and how he went down. Let's pause, and let's get it. Appreciate all y'all for jumping in. Let's talk about Skeletor before he gets gone on a spin. Now, as I had updated the post, I didn't have it in there originally, I probably should have, but updated the post about him having this interesting sword. So if you guys can see that, that is a very interesting custom sword that I think came from PlasticCurves.com, a very cool sword for Skeletor that he comes with. We have the Alcala style head. Of course, this is the Super 7 Ultimates figure. He's got the clawed full boots and comes with a cape. So that you got your cape. Of course, that's if you're going to rock your Keldor head. But I just think it looks much better on the old Lord of Destruction just this way. And he also came with his staff to play. So he's got the Havoc staff with him there. And he also has another his original sword that'll go with him, too. But, tonight we're going to talk about old Skeletor, dude. He comes in many different flavors. Skeletor, known for his various different outfit styles. But what we will look at is just an overview of Skeletor and who he be. And then we'll break them down on the variants, you see. So we'll come back, we'll pick up Dragon Blaster, and we'll do some battle armor and all that good stuff, too. But let's pause for the calls and make it do what it do. Give a shout-out to our boy Draven. If he's listening, it may be past his bedtime and gets a little late when the adults get on and rhyme. So Skeletor, many, many names. So here's what they be. Let's run down a list. You see, you got the Lord of Destruction, the Overlord of Evil, the Apprentice of Hordak, Prince of Eternia. I thought that one was interesting. Ruler of Demons. Lord of the Netherworld. Master of Evil. Lord of Evil. And the last one, the Master of Death. So, very interesting names that are ascribed to Skeletor. As many different titles, he's affiliated in a couple of different ways. Of course, we see him talking about the Apprentice of Hordak, you know where the tie-in is there. Prince of Eternia, Ruler of Demons, Lord of the Netherworld. Also known as Keldor, we have Skeletor. His skills include sorcery, swordsmanship, teleportation, and he's pretty good with a bow staff. Not really. Weaponry, he has a Havoc Staff, one half of the Power Sword, Energy Blade, Skull Staff. However, they did not list the blue axe that comes with Plundor. And I thought that was kind of interesting because it is also featured on the cover of a mini comic, which was then why that ended up being made. But it was very cool that it was put inside of Plundor and came with Plundor. So there is a blue axe that Skeletor carries that has a crystal on the end of it. And we don't, I think we actually do see him swinging the axe on the cover of the mini comic, but sort of got this arcane kind of magic coming off the end of the thing there. That's magic, you guys. That's how magic works. And so I thought it was interesting that they didn't list that. And I know that Skeletor's had many different weapons. I know he's had a lot of other things that he uses. But as far as primary weapons, I would count that as something that Skeletor has simply because it was featured on the cover of one of the mini comics. It's like saying, you know, Terrorclaws are not Terrorclaws. Yeah, they are. But, you know, just something cool that I picked up and thought that was interesting. Skeletor released in the first wave, of course, the Nemesis to He-Man. Very first wave. I was reading and doing the research on this, and I did think it was interesting that there was a rumor that some of, and this was through Battle Ram blog, and I really thought this was interesting, but there was a rumor that I read in the comments that at some point possibly and this is unconfirmed. They don't know if this is true or not, but that some of the early episodes or cartoons were banned overseas as far as not banned, or they just didn't show them because they thought Skeletor was too scary of a villain. And so what the question was posed, would Skeletor have been as effective a nemesis for He-Man had he been released later in the line? Would he have even worked? You know, because you have a skull-faced demon that, you know, is more or less just bent on world conquest and, you know, it's scary at times, uses dark magic. He's moving in and out of portals. You know, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that looking at it from that perspective as far as maybe how Skeletor could be perceived by some parents, yeah. But, you know, as a kid, to me, it was never that way. Skeletor, I did get him early on. I think maybe he was one of the second or third figures that I actually got. I do recall it was for Christmas, though, because Skeletor, my mom always did this really cool thing, or my parents did. Shout out there, Big Gear, Big Christine. Let's pause for the cause. For my mom and dad and for that little bit of sex that they had. I appreciate you guys for bringing me in the world. Can we say that? Do we do that on a podcast? Is that all right, Squirrel? I don't know if we can say that, but we did. So edit it, Doug, or do whatever you got to do. What was our time stamp on that? We'll let it be what it be. But, yeah, no, thanks, Mom and Dad, for making me. But they always we had this long hallway going into the living room, and you know, living room's not huge. We were quite poor as I was growing up. Now my mom and dad made sure that we were taken care of. We were well taken care of as kids, but we weren't well off by any means. My dad was a coal miner; he made decent money for the area and that kind of thing. But my mom didn't work. She took care, raised the babies. She was a homemaker, And always want to make her boys happy. So on Christmas morning, you get down that hallway, man. You got to get down there and see what you got. And I will never forget those early Christmases when I was first getting into the Masters line because, you know, it's Christmas. Mom and Dad will do it up big. But I had Castle Grayskull set up. And then over here is all of the figures sitting around it in battle poses. And I think at the time I was maybe three or four figures, but still so freaking cool to come down that hallway and see this battle already set up. And here's the castle that was in the mini comics, and there's Skeletor. Here's Beast Man. Oh my God. So, yeah, man, some of the best times we ever did have was when we was little and we appreciated our moms and dads. So, there you go, guys. A little pause for the calls. Tear from these eyes. Walking down memory lane, you know what it'd be. Mech suits for everybody for Christmas. Yeah. There we go. Boogie talking about some Fallen Grayskull. Yo, I hear you, brother. All right. So, again, Skeletor released in the first wave, obviously, is a nemesis to He-Man. He reaches pop culture fame. I mean, honestly, Skeletor is probably one of the most easily recognizable villains of all time. I mean, it's one of those things where even people who have no idea what Masters of the Universe are, hey, man, you know what Masters of the Universe is? No, I have no idea what that is. You ask them who that is, and you show that bone face and that purple hood, and, oh, yeah, Skeletor. So, you know, the thing is, he's far more recognizable, I believe, in the Filmation look. And, of course, that is how you know him. This is how most people know him. But, you know, it's not really, for me, the Skeletor that I love. So, you know, this to me is Skeletor. Skeletor is Alcala. He's very dark style. He's a demon. He would most definitely probably have a cape. It would be really important to have that cape and that cowl so he can whip it around and scowl. But, yeah, he's going to have the Havoc Staff. He's going to have some arcane magical items. And, of course, the half of the Power Sword is the part of the story that I think is super important, especially when early on in my young mind, we're developing who Skeletor is. There has to be a reason, and kids like to know a reason. There has to be a reason. Of course, the reason for Masters was the power. Everybody wanted to have the power. You had to have the power. So Skeletor wanted to have the power too, and in the early readings and the early mini-comic stuff, the one that really, and even though this is not, I don't believe, done by Alcala, but it's one of the ones that I feel like Skeletor is probably most menacing, or at least to me as a kid, for some reason it stuck in my mind, and it's Magic Stealer. And in Magic Stealer, you know, as a kid we're taught that stealing's wrong. We see this evil bone-faced, you know, evil nemesis of He-Man, who is now sucking all of the magic out of Eternia. And Eternia is such a magical, wonderful, lush place. So as we see Skeletor setting in this, you know, pyramid that now is able to suck the, you know, siphon the powers of Eternia, it's in deep contrast. It's in the snow. I mean, it really painted a scene for me, a very dark scene of who Skeletor was when I was a kid. And Alcala did that for me as well. And I really think that those early depictions of Skeletor, of course, Mini Eternia or whatever they may call it, the first four mini comics, that Alcala style just stuck with me, man. And that's where it is. I mean, he is a ghoulish demon. He is a dark sorcerer. He's from another dimension. He draws on the dark arts. Skeletor probably is one of the most rounded, most capable, most vengeful, evil, spiteful individuals that have ever been created. And we saw that fleshed out in the 87 movie. And yeah, we didn't get everything else that we wanted out of that movie, and again, you can't always make Masters fans happy, but there were a lot of great things out of that movie, and one of the things that was great was seeing Skeletor's evil conquest and just absolute power. He wants absolute power. If he doesn't have it all, he has nothing. And so that's the Skeletor that we've come to know early on. Now, later on, obviously, we get into a little bit different Skeletor with Filmation, and we'll touch on that in just a second. Have I got my figures from Super 7? No. Actually, I've got mine through Big Bad Toy Store, so they will be coming. I've got some other stuff coming from Big Bad Toy Store, too. Got it in my pile of loot, so that stuff's already sitting there. And for you guys that don't know, I know that we do throw this out there every once in a while on the podcast. BigBadToyStore.com. You will pay a little bit more. It's a little bit more expensive, but you can order single individual figures in the waves. You don't have to order all four like you do with the pre-order with Super 7. But speaking of those figures, I've been seeing folks open them up this week. They're absolutely glorious. Tommy Sexton did some amazing video work doing his stuff. Man, that was really killer, Firestone. You did a good job on that, man. That was cool to get to enjoy your excitement in opening those packages, man. That was just raw and perfect. So appreciate you doing that, man, because that was a little bit after lunch at work. It was really killer to get to check that out while you were opening the packages. I got excited for you, man. Shit, I was tearing through them with you, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's Fagor. Oh, my God, it's Lodar. I mean, guys, they're glorious. I mean, if you all haven't seen them, if you haven't pulled up the pictures of them, there's some posts on Legends. There's one where there's like, I don't know who shared the post. Maybe might have been Magnus, maybe, or maybe Cristobal. But somebody shared a post, and it was like 140-something odd pictures of those classics, those new classics. And man, they are just absolutely gorgeous. Tila's face, they nailed it. I don't care what anybody says. Tila's glorious, man. Hawk's beautiful. The thigh gap ain't, you know, on some. And we haven't seen like a whole lot of variants. Haven't seen a whole bunch of them. But some folks said, we saw from what Brian Flynn said, was talking to Pixel Dan. If you guys have seen that video, there's a walkthrough from Toy Fair and a nice interview with Brian Flynn. And guys, I mean, I've said it since day one. I really feel that Brian Flynn has our best interest in mind, and he really wants to make an awesome product. And so, you know, it was like you were saying, nobody starts out and wants to make a shitty toy. That's not what they want to do. They want to bring an awesome product. So I really think Super 7 knocked it out of the park with these figures. They really are glorious. And so each little thing that we're getting is getting better and better, and it's getting quicker and quicker. So, guys, I mean, I know a lot of people were hating on Super 7, but I tell you what, guys, they really delivered on that. Now, prices and some things like that, some other information that they shared with us regarding the 5.5s, that's, you know, it is what it is. I think we've seen Funko showed us that they can put a product out there that is at a good retail price. But in my mind, adult collector, it's okay. I mean, it's going to cost just a touch more. But Brian Flynn did say in that video that with Tila, there was a shorter peg, there was a medium peg, and there was a larger peg that went in the center for the crotch piece that ran across. None of the large pegs got used, but there was a variance in the fact that some small ones got used, some mediums got used. And so, you know, it is what it is. You don't know which one you're getting. We really don't know. But the difference is so minor. But of course, you know, on that small of a figure, it'll show. So, but either way, let's get back to Skeletor. Let's get it on. We got to get this done and get this waffle on, because I'm gonna need about 5 minutes straighten up that wheel. Of course, you know what 5 minutes, you know how that feels. I'll pause up in it. We'll hit the high points and we'll get it on, and then we'll come back and we'll get our Skeletor on. some other time. Designed by Mark Taylor, the earliest depiction of Skeletor that we see is, there is a 1979 drawing that is very interesting, because that is the original drawing that Mark Taylor ascribes to being where he created He-Man, and it's Torak. So this 1979 drawing that he did features Torak, and Torak, of course, the design of He-Man, where he's got the two little horns there. It was sort of early design for a concept of who he wanted He-Man to be. He didn't call it He-Man at that time. It was called Torak. But if you look in the background behind Torak, there actually is a skeleton figure that very much resembles Skeletor. So we may have found the origins of Skeletor a bit further back than Mark's time at Mattel, simply because this was some of the stuff that he was working on prior to coming to Mattel. So he had a passion for drawing these skeletons and drawing, you know, some of these things and having these. He was very influenced by these barbarian type things. So it wasn't uncommon to have sketchbook after sketchbook full of different concepts and drawings. So, you know, that's what it be. It may very well be that Skeletor found his origins right along with Torak, with He-Man, in the very first sketches that were done by Taylor. Now, later on, he did another drawing of a skeleton royalty, and if you look at that piece, he's sort of a he's a mummy, and he's got the mummy wrap on his legs and sort of hanging off his arms. But one of the most prominent and interesting pieces of that is the fact that the chest harness, you see the bones, and it's very reminiscent of what we ended up getting with Skeletor. So the face, sort of that clayish decaying, rotting face, but he was wearing a crown. It was more of a, it honestly looks a touch more mummy-ish or Egyptian, but so there were some similarities there too. But what later ended up happening, of course, as we get into the B sheets, you guys, I know you guys have seen, or most of you have seen, if you've not, check it out, the original drawing of Demo Man. So Demo Man, some people will say, is the most very earliest depiction of Skeletor. Well, obviously, since later on, story-wise, we bond Demo Man and Keldor to create Skeletor. If you're following that canon, then obviously Demo Man would have been the inspiration for Skeletor, blah, blah, because that's who he bonded and became. But the truth is, Mark Taylor actually always maintained that Demo Man was just a separate figure. He was a different figure, he was a different character, and that he stood alone. He actually wasn't the early depiction of Skeletor. Now, in the classics line, we do have that as part of the bio, as part of the background, we sort of attribute the fact that Hordak, you know, took the soul, or took, you know, Demo Man and bound him with Skeletor to save him. And that may be true in your particular canon, if that's what you like. However, there actually was the B-Sheets drawing, which Mark Taylor did, and it is listed as D-Man, but it is not Demo Man. And that actually gives us our first and official ever look at Skeletor. So it was a bit closer to the final design. That is the one where we see the hood. There is the purple. There is the staff. And notable things from that, and things that were interesting there, there were a lot of things that actually made it from that design over to the finished prototype and finished design for Skeletor. And so, again, we've got the clayish face, you've got the sort of decaying face, you've got the hood, we've got the staff, the Havoc staff. Now, interestingly enough, in that particular picture, the Havoc staff, the head, the top part of the staff actually comes off, and swings around as a roped weapon. So that was kind of a design there. They had that same design. Mark Taylor must have liked that design. He was using it for man-at-arms mace and a couple other things. So, that part was pretty cool. But there were a lot of things that did in that particular design make it into the final design of Skeletor. One of those things was the harness. We do see that yellow bat design sort of on the chest harness. You had it on the shin guards as well. So the shin guards, we had the pointed toes. Now, interestingly enough, he did have five toes in that drawing. And so that goes back to he had five-toed bare feet, the yellow bat detail on his shin guards and chest armor. It was also worth noting that when the prototype was made, Tony Guerrero, who has done, the amazing sculptor that he is, created these prototypes. When he created the Skeletor prototype, D-Man was pretty much made exactly to what was on the sheets. But they had to do a little bit of simplification on the design because he did too good of a job at it. The sculpting of the face, very rotted, very decayed looking. But it was different, and so there was a lot of layers to it, and there was a lot of thickness to the flesh and spots where it was sort of, coming loose. And so in order to simplify that design, Mattel just more or less, brought it down, said, hey, we got to have, we can't have these crazy monster fins. So we got them, but we got a much more simplified, more streamlined version of the actual prototype. And so instead of the five toes, we brought it down to three. Now we can reuse that with Merman. We can reuse that with Zodak. So those became the beast toes or the monster toes, whatever you like to call them. But, so that it was interesting to me that in the simplification of things, that we see those prototypes, man, when we saw the one for Man-at-Arms, Beast-Man, and I think these were the prototypes where it actually said Lords of Power. So detailed, a lot of very interesting and intricate details on those prototypes. And, that too, sharing that Alcala design or made its way actually from the prototype to Alcala, who used those things for his drawings. So very interesting there. The cross-cell artwork would further simplify Skeletor on the toes, opting for the three-toe design, allow for parts reuse. On his very first release, Skeletor was released on the iconic 8-back. I know if we scroll her up there just a little bit, y'all can see it. So we got the old 8-back back there. And on his original release, that's what you had on the back of the card back. Now, when you had reissues, they actually did feature that Errol McCarthy artwork of him cruising across the landscape, and you got Castle Grayskull in the background there. So for you vintage variant hunters, I know you guys like to really get into that and get into the different card backs and different things like that. There is a variant there for Skeletor with that. Also, and it's, I wouldn't say so much as it's a variant as it was just kind of what happened. I guess you could call it a variant because it is what it be. But let's see. I was trying to find me old Skelly. See, hang on just 1 second. Let's grab a sucker here. Sweet baby merman, hold my beer. All right. So there we go, old Skelly. There you go. But if you look real close, you don't see no orange in them cheeks there, bro. So in the early releases, it was actually some color got off or something, and it had bled over on the design. And what ended up happening was there were thousands of Skeletors made that actually had the orange spots down in the cheeks on the original runs because that somehow got into production. And before that, Mattel could pull the plug on it, there had been a bunch of them made. So I do recall when I was a child actually having the ones that had, or having one at least that had the orange in the cheeks. In my opinion, that's just, I thought that's how Skeletor looked. But I always thought that was very cool. There are other versions. The original version, of course, featured the half boot. And if you look right here, this is a full boot Skelly. He's not the half boot. You'll also notice that the center section is completely black. So the loincloth is black, the belt's black. There were some original ones done that were half boot and then also had the purple loincloth. So everything back here being purple and the belt still being black. Of course, he does normally come with his little nice little thing there. I don't even know what you call that, guys. It's like a... Well... It's a loincloth, really, but no, I don't know. I don't know what you call it. Johnson's at a loss for words, but that don't happen very often. Mark that down. But, yeah, so his little, like, war belt or whatever that thing is that hangs down there. Yeah, so in some of the earlier designs, that actually had a bird on it. And so in those B sheets, there was a bird in the center of that design. And I thought that was really awesome because that kind of carried over and got simplified and then carried over and got simplified and then carried over and got simplified until the design more or less was just the little bump on the belt that we ended up getting. So very cool there, very interesting piece of knowledge that had at one time with the original design had the bird on it. All right, guys, we've run it long, and I know it's 11:26 now, bro. We started this sucker at 10:40, and we got to get it underway. Let's run through the gift sets, and then we'll get over here and play. So Skeletor was released, Skeletor and Panther, Skeletor and Screech. The Battle of for Eternia gift set, that was Skeletor, Panther, Manny Faces. Evil Warriors pack, there was Beastman, Skeletor, Faker. There was a He-Man and Skeletor German 2-pack. I think that's badass if you could find that, just because that, I mean, that has got to be rare. There was a JCPenney Skeletor Beastman 2-pack, a JCPenney Skeletor Merman 2-pack. The box artwork, amazing as always. Rudy Orbrero and William Garland. So normally William George, but William Garland there. Doing that amazing box artwork that Skeletor is featured on so much. I mean, I don't even know how you could ever document the amount of things that Skeletor is featured on. I mean, he's key rings, he's lunch boxes, he's bed sheets, he's window curtains. I mean, you can never really, and as far as in the 80s, I mean, Masters was on everything, and He-Man and Skeletor were on everything. There were court boards, or, you know, so... all these things, but Skeletor dominating a good portion of that, just being the lead nemesis. Now, one last thing I want to tell you guys, and then we'll get off of here and we'll get going and do our thing. Most folks associate the early mini comic Skeletor as Alcala style. He's much more ghoulish and demonic. Talked about that just a minute ago. And I wanted to read to you guys something from Battle Ram Blog. So good old Battle Ram Blog. If you guys, again, I always give much love to Battle Ram Blog because this blog just kills it as far as information goes. If you guys need to know something, go over and check it out. But there was a description of Skeletor that was written by Mark Taylor. And Mark Taylor really didn't have anything to do with writing the mini comics or anything like that. He was just simply the person who drew and sketched and created the characters, but for Skeletor, he had developed a bit of his own backstory, and he'd done that for a couple of characters where he just sort of had a thing that's how he envisioned the character to be. And so, although he didn't write the mini comics, I thought that it was interesting that he did develop a backstory for Skeletor, and it kind of, in some ways, contradicts what a lot of people, you know, like to talk about too. Which is Skeletor coming through that dimensional portal in the early mini-comics. So let's pause for the calls and I'll read it, my friends. Skeletor is a corrupted superhuman. His father threw him into the Pit of Souls as a youth to eliminate him as a claimant to the throne of Grayskull. Years after, the tribe was completely eliminated by a malevolent witch poisoner, Skeletor's mother, Saren, if you will. who then helped him escape from the well. But when she saw what it had done to him, she went insane and drank her own poison. His stay in the demonic well of souls morphed his body and soul forever. Before, he looked very much like He-Man. His hood is to help hide his glowing eyes and camouflage his distinct silhouette. It is made of the eyelid of a dragon that once tried to best him after he emerged from the well. His armor is made from the hide of an armadillo-type monster that dared to defy him, and it is tougher than steel. Skeletor is the ultimate bipolar, from quiet malevolent to towering rage, not counting the time warp in the Well of Souls. He is about 317 years old, and he never sleeps. So, interestingly enough, you have an origin story, or more or less a concept story, that Mark Taylor's given us. It has nothing to do with Skeletor coming from another dimension or anything like that. But how do you feel about that? I don't. I like Alcala. So the guy who actually wrote the, you know, we call him Alcala Minicomics, or I do. It was actually not written by Alcala. It was just drawn. But Don Glute actually wrote the story, so big shout out to Don. Don, I know you listen. Appreciate you, my friend. Don Glute gave the effective origin story for Skeletor. He was an evil demon from another dimension who stepped through, or was thrown through, into Eternia when the dimension ripped due to the Great Wars. Now, that's interesting in and of itself, because if we go back to that very first mini comic, that's where this story was developed. You find out about the Great Wars. You find out that Skeletor was a very dark sorcerer. He was a demon. He focused on the dark arts, using dark magic. So Alcala, I believe, drew him in this ghoulish manner, in this way that, you know, that's truly how he was. So, you know, maybe you like Mark Taylor's version. Maybe you like the Filmation version. The insults, the, you know, the comedy relief, the always bumbling, always losing nemesis who will get you next time. Maybe you like Alcala. And your Skeletor is like mine. You know, I don't know, but it's time to get on over here. Let's do this show. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Thanks for coming out. It's been a Waffle Mafia Thursday, which is a little different than usual, but we're going to get it in. Give me 5 minutes, and we're going to do a spin. I promise, 5 minutes, and we're going to get it on. Y'all hang around. Don't get gone. I love all y'all. Appreciate you hanging out. We'll see you in a few. Peace. Gotta get this wheel some grease.